Good evening. Welcome to worship at Emmanuel. Throughout this summer season, we've been preaching and learning our way through a book that we're making available to all our congregations, visitors, and members entitled, I Am a Church Member. It talks about the attitude that comes along with being part of a Christian church. And we're looking at Paul's letter to the Ephesians to help us appreciate some of those important truths that come along to being a family of Christ. We looked at the fact that as church members, Christ calls us to be functioning church members and unifying church members. Last week, we talked about church not being about our own preferences. This week, the focus of our attention is the importance of prayer in a Christian church. And as your pastors, we're asking particularly for prayers on behalf of us. For the work of leadership in a church to work, it needs God's people to be united in that effort and that understanding that the amazing things that God gives us to do together requires the support of God's people. And that's what the focus of our worship is tonight. This also gives us a chance to celebrate the Lord's Supper, uniting us together in faith. We'll begin with the opening hymn for our service this evening. It's on number 532, God is here as we, his people, will join to sing all four verses of that hymn. God's blessings on our worship tonight. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
As our service begins, we'll turn to the top of page 6 of our service folder as we turn our attention to the words of confession. God invites us to come into his presence and to worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this, I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. For all that we need in life and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power, and keep us in your tender care. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, look with favor on those whom you have called to minister to your people. Fill them with faithfulness to your word and clothe them with holiness and joy, that they may serve to the glory of your name and for the benefit of your church, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. The theme of our worship tonight is the fact that God gives gifts to his people as he provides leaders for them. All throughout the pages of God's Old Testament story, the leaders that he gave to his people at some times were easy to love and honor, and at other times were difficult to deal with. In the first lesson, we see the future king of Israel, David, honor and respect the present king, Saul, even through difficulty and trial. The first lesson from the first book of Samuel, chapter 24. After Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, David is in the desert of En-Gedi. So Saul took 3,000 able young men from all Israel and set out to look for David and his men near the crags of the wild goats. He came to the sheep pens along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in. David and his men were far back in the cave. The men said, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, 'I will give you your enemy into your hands for you to deal with you as you wish.' Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Afterward, David was conscience-stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay a hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord." With these words, David sharply rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul, and Saul left the cave and went away. Then David went out of the cave and called out to Saul, "My lord, the king." When Saul looked behind him, David bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. He said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the men who say David is bent on harming you? This day you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, 'I will not lay my hand on my Lord because he is the Lord's anointed.' See, my father, look at this piece of your robe in my hand. I cut off the corner of your robe, but did not kill you. See that there is nothing in my hand to indicate that I am guilty of wrongdoing or rebellion. I have not wronged you, but you are hunting me down to take my life. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me, but my hand will not touch you." This is the word of the Lord. Let's join together this evening to sing the four verses of Psalm 138. The second lesson for this evening is a continuation of the lessons we've been looking to from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. As he turns his attention to chapter 4, Paul begins discussing the church's work of ministry and the way in which God appointed pastors, teachers, and others to support his people in that work, a lesson from Ephesians chapter 4. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This too is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. In the Holy Gospel from Matthew chapter 21, Jesus warns us not to reject those whom he has sent. Jesus said, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants and collected the fruit. The tenants seized the servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. So he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? He will bring those wretches to a wretch's end, they replied, and he will rent the vineyard out to other tenants who will give them his share of the crop at harvest time. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Tonight we'll join together in the hymn of the day, Lord Jesus, You Have Come, hymn number 546. It's on page 12.
The grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you. Amen. Our text for consideration today is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians here in Ephesians chapter 4, where we again read verses 11 through 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Let us bow our heads in prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do you remember August 8th, 2013? Do you remember what happened on August 8th, 2013? Remember that's when a tornado went through New London? I can't believe it's been 8 years. I know one went by like in 2019 as well, but this one is a lot wider and did a lot more destruction. But August 8th, 2013, I can remember waking up till around midnight, hearing all the tornado sirens. And then after the storm passed, I surveyed my whole property. There was nothing wrong. Said, okay, well, I guess it just blew over and everything. I went to bed. All was fine. But then early the next morning, what I usually do, I always go to Facebook just to see what's all going on. And to my surprise, I see that we fared pretty well, but the rest of New London didn't fare well at all. So I hopped into my truck, and as I was turning onto Dye Road, I saw that, boy, this is going to be a real problem getting into church with all the trees and the limbs down. But I continued. Then I took a right on Jennings Road, and to the left I saw Charlie and Sylvia Stern's house and all the trees and all the damage. And there was Charlie out there cutting trees down already. And then I went a little further down on Jennings Road, maybe 200 or 300 yards or so, and there were the Otises, Del and Hazel Otis, their house. Couldn't even see the house. They couldn't even get out because all the trees that were on their house and surrounding their house. Then I decided I'm not going to church. I think I'm going to just turn around and go get my chainsaw and go get the gas and go get the oil and go get my sharp chains as well. And that's what I did. I spent the whole rest of the day cutting down trees, cutting down branches, hauling branches. I probably came back at home to around 6 or 7 o'clock at night, completely tired and sweaty. And then I received a call from one of our church staff members saying that a member had called, wanted to relay this message to all the pastors at Emmanuel. Where were you guys? Why can't you be like the pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church that lost his church and who helped out one of our members clear up his yard? Where were we? Little did this person know what I was doing the entire day. At first I thought, and I felt very furious. And then I was a little disappointed, of course, but I think I was really hurt. I'm going, how can someone say that? But I guess what really concerned me the most was, what does more damage than anything than a twister in New London is false testimony. I still look at New London, it's like a walled city, it has a wall around, and if good things are happening here at Emmanuel, that ricochets off the walls all the time. Good things are happening at Emmanuel, but when bad things are going at Emmanuel or false things that look true, that is also bounced off the walls too. Just curious. Have any of you ever complained about any of your pastors? Raise your hand. No, you don't have to do that. Maybe the question you want to ask us is, well, have we, the pastors, ever complained about you? Never. I think the other two have. Just joking. Okay, being truthful, a few times every hour. No, maybe not that much as well. We're here to cast nets, not to throw stones. But it's easier to cast nets a lot, cast stones than to cast nets. Here's another question for you. How many of you pray for your pastors? Prayers are powerful. I'll tell you the truth, we need a lot of them. Prayers always uplift. They always strengthen. They always embolden us. And that's also a very healthy sign of a Christian congregation, a congregation that prays for its leaders at all times. I'm reminded about this section here in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus chapter 17 when I studied for this text. And I'll read this account, and it goes like this. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Maybe some of you are saying, it's not really that hard to hold your arms up, right? I ask all the kids to go home tonight and let's see how long you can hold your arms up like that. I bet you can't pass 10 minutes. They get heavy all the time. Doesn't seem like a big deal, but it is a big deal. It's harder than you think. I think that a lot of times people think about pastors and the ministry, oh, it's a piece of cake, you know, 1 hour a week. I know it's just a joke and everything. You know, physically, yes, it's a piece of cake because, well, look at me. You know, I'm not a specimen of health. I'm going to have to work on that. But when it comes to emotionally and spiritually and psychologically, you know, it's a different story. It's a real tough story sometimes. And that's why I need a lot of you to continue to pray for us. I need a lot more Aaron and hers out there to hold our arms up at all times, because when we are built up, you guys will be built up too. But if we are not prayed for, if you don't support us, we grow tired as well. So continue to keep us in your prayers. Now, just curious, how many of you would ever go to Afghanistan right now to save some of the captives that are still there in Afghanistan? Would you put your life on the line to rescue the lost, those that are forgotten? Maybe some of us would, if we were fully equipped. How many of you would go to Afghanistan to reach the lost, the Taliban? Would you? Probably not, right? But that's exactly what God has done for us. There was no one who was good here in this world. We were all sinful. We all had fallen short of the glory of God. No one was holy. But who came to rescue us? God's one and only. He came to rescue us and save us. I just want to read to you this section here from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." And again, a lot of times I think we all know a lot of different names for Jesus. You know, he is our Redeemer. He is the bread of life. He is the resurrection and life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we could go on and on and on. But another name he gives himself is he calls himself the Word. So I could actually say it this way. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was with God in the beginning. And how do we know this? It says this right here in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So we know that this is Jesus, who came into this world to rescue us from all of our sins and from all of our enemies. But when Jesus arrived in this world, this is what happened to Him. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Do you know Him? I mean, really know Him? Do you recognize whose words these are tonight? Do you realize what He is bringing you here again today? His grace and His truth. Yes, He lowered Himself into this world to save all of us. We all know the Apostles' Creed. I go through the Apostles' Creed every night before I go to bed. You know, just looking at all the things God did for us, our Lord and Savior Jesus did for us. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit for us. He was born of the Virgin Mary for us. He suffered under Pontius Pilate for us. He was crucified for us. He died for us. He was buried for us. He descended into hell for us. You know why He descended into hell for us? This is not a part of His humiliation. This is part of His exaltation. He was going there to cancel our rightful reservations. That's where we were headed. But He went down there and said, nope, they're no longer coming here. They are mine now. And then on the third day again, He rose again from the dead to show to the world, not only did He pay for all of our sins and crush Satan's head, but that He also swallowed up death in victory. He ascended into heaven, and He is seated there at God's right hand. And He'll come back to judge the living and the dead. He will certainly come back for us. So He did all this for us. Guess what? As He sits there at God's right hand, He says He will not leave us as orphans until He returns. He doesn't say, you're on your own now until I come. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you behind. And so who does He send? He sends the unlikely of characters. He sends prophets. He sends the apostles. He sends the evangelists. He sends the pastors. And He sends the teachers. Or as our text says here, it says, when He ascended on high, He led captives in His train and gave gifts to men. Again, that's how God works. I know that you don't probably think I've been called by God, but for some reason I'm here. I never had a thought that I was going to go. My dream is to live in New London, Wisconsin, but here I am. I didn't make this decision. The Lord called me here. But I can remember many times when I sit up here and I stand up here, and just to kind of describe this one, a bride and groom come up here, and the bride is standing right here. And they're looking at me when they first get up here. They're smiling at each other, smiling at me. And they're really, really nervous at that point. What does usually the maid of honor do when the bride is finally here? She steps down and spreads out the train of the bride's dress, right? And that's really what God does right now. He ascended into heaven, and He led the captives in His train. You know, a lot of people knew about Him. A lot of people believed in Him when He walked in this world. But as we continue to grow older and older, that train of His gospel net continues to need to be spread out. And who's going to spread that out? He doesn't have bridesmaids, but He has pastors and teachers, and we spread this out. And this train or this gospel net is so large, we can't spread it out that far, just the three of us and maybe all the teachers. I'm sure that all of us have seen like maybe the football games and everything, especially on this weekend with the outstretched American flag. Can you imagine if only four people did that? That it would cover the entire football field? It couldn't. If it was Pastor Schultz, Pastor Tiefel, and Pastor Hyges, and let's say Pastor Shawi, and we have this huge, huge flag, and we have the corners, we can't do it all. We need a lot of help at all times. And there has to be order. You know, the Lord says, you're going to be the corner holders, and all of you, just listen to what we tell you, so that we can spread this gospel net out farther and farther, so that more and more lost are found. I can remember my wife's wedding dress, and she also had a train as well that was spread out. And the reason I remember her wedding dress so much, especially her train, wasn't because it was so beautiful. I can remember it was like the first or second dance. I was dancing with her, and I wasn't in step with her. And she had her train all bundled up and everything, and I stepped a little too high, and she jumped, and I stepped down on her train, and it blew out all these pearls all over the dance floor. One misstep, and that's what happened. See, one misstep in a congregation does a lot of damage, too. And that one misstep is sometimes not listening to the leader because you don't like the leaders or pastors he sent you. So let us stay in step with the Lord. Listen to his leaders that he has sent you. By all means, continue to pray for them, because God's shepherds bring a bubble of joy, peace, and comfort and hope wherever they go at all times. And Satan in this world loves to burst these little bubbles all the time. It's not because we have these bubbles of peace and comfort and forgiveness that we make the sphere around us and everything. It's not because of who we are. It's what we carry. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Yes, God's shepherds bring people, the captives of this world, from this dark world, into a very fine setting of those green pastures and the still waters of God's word. I'm sure you already know this, but pastors and teachers, they also are in God, are also in Satan's crosshairs. We're on the top five list of who Satan wants to take out. Strike the shepherd, and the flock will scatter as well. Right here, I just have a picture of my classmates graduating class from the seminary. And I have 9 out of 41 that are no longer in the ministry. So a little over 20% are now gone. But do you realize that all the Bible study students that go, and not just our seminary, but throughout this world, that actually study at a seminary or a Bible school, 80% of them won't be in the ministry after five years of ministry? Do you know that only 10% of pastors that begin as a pastor retire as a pastor? Do you realize that in America, 1,500 pastors resign every month? Do you realize that 1,300 other pastors are asked to leave their local church every month? Do you know that it's Pastors Appreciation Month next month? Just had to say that. But it's devastating, right? It is very devastating. But I'm telling you the absolute truth, and you hear this all the time. We, too, are real people. We do have real hardships. We have real temptations, too. But we also carry, and I pray all the time, the wonderful solution to all. what Jesus has done for us. He is the way, the life, and the truth. You know, God made it very simple. How do you get to heaven? He didn't give us, well, here's a list of things to do. He looks at us and he says, I am the way. I've done it all for you. He is the truth. And the truth is, though our sins are great, his grace is always greater. Remember what John 3:17 says? God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Do you hear what it says in the letter to Romans? There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And Jesus, he is the life. Remember what Jesus says? He says this. He says, I've come so that you can have life and have it to the full. He wants us to live a full life. And we can live a full life knowing that we have another life yet to come. So my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I think all of us realize that God has given us a beautiful vineyard called Emmanuel. My prayer is that you don't beat us up too much. By all means, don't kill us, please. But we ask you to keep coming here to hear God's word, because then we grow mature. We ask you to keep inviting others so that we can reach more and more lost. And by all means, continue to pray for us. We need his prayers to uphold us. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. Let us now confess our Christian faith according to the words of the Nicene Creed on page 13. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things are made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He shall come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated.
Following the prayer of the church, we'll join in the Lord's Prayer and then the sacrament, which you'll find on page 14. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are our great high priest who intercedes with the Father on our behalf. During your earthly ministry, you called men to be your apostles, and still today you call them to be pastors and teachers in your church, to proclaim the gospel of the forgiveness of sins, to baptize, to nourish your people with your Holy Supper, and to minister in ways to your flock. Grant those who serve your church fidelity to your word, wisdom by your Spirit, and strength from above, that they may carry out their work faithfully. Make them fearless confessors of your truth. Keep them from error in their teaching and from scandal in their lives. Give them courage to admonish those who stray, compassion to bind up the brokenhearted, and discernment to apply your word to all appropriately. Enable them to protect your flock from ravaging wolves by shepherding your lambs to green pastures. Keep our pastors and our parishioners faithful until death, that together we may receive the crown of life. O God of grace and glory, 20 years ago this weekend you allowed the attacks of evil men to remind us how weak and vulnerable we are. As our nation commemorates the events of September 11th, we turn our hearts to you and to your strength. You, O Lord, are our refuge and ever-present help in trouble. You have promised to control all things for the good of your people. You have shown us that you are our refuge in days of trouble and danger. You have told us that it is not our own vigilance or strength alone that keeps us safe, but we thank you for shielding us with your faithfulness. Comfort those still grappling with sadness, in grief, in warfare, or in conflict. Keep safe those who serve our armed forces and those who continue to see to the safety of society. At the same time, let your word shine like a beacon in our dark world. Send the message of Jesus' salvation to fill the hearts of many near and far, bringing about peace not only for the nations, but most of all for souls which need you. O Triune God, we bring you our thanksgiving for blessing Terry and Sandy Migalski with 58 years of wedded life. As companions on the journey through life, they have loved, consoled, and supported each other, but most importantly, they have grown closer to you. Your word has been a lamp to their feet and a light for their path. Now keep them committed to each other and to you, continuing to supply their earthly needs according to your will. Heavenly Father, we approach your throne in confidence through your Son as we commend Donna Wegner into your care as she undergoes back surgery this week. We commend Jim and Deb Olson's great-grandson to your care as he is hospitalized with an unknown sickness. Remind these believers that they are your forgiven children and that no one or anything can snatch them out of your hand. Give the physicians that attend to them the guidance and strength that they need. And if it is your will, grant them speedy recoveries and a return to healthy lives. In all these things, Lord, we ask that you hear us, as in the name of your Son we join to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please stand for the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He sends the Holy Spirit to testify that we are his children and to strengthen us when we are weak. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Amen.
Now may this true body and blood strengthen you and keep you in the one true faith until life everlasting. You are at peace with God. Amen. We pray. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated for the two verses of our final hymn. Again, good evening and glad to have you with us tonight in worship. Thanks for being here. Thanks also to my pastor for preaching to me and to our people as well. In Pastor Schultz's remarks, we talked about praying for pastors, and not only for us as your pastors, but also for all of those who are involved in ministry here on our campus and elsewhere, our teaching staff, our principal who's been begun this year, and also those who are serving in so many different ways. In that way, we call to mind all of the amazing people that God has allowed us to be served by and that he allows us to serve with together. As you take a look at this book that we've been featuring, if you haven't yet picked up a copy, do that. There's a case of two of them out in the narthex area. So before you go home tonight, if you haven't gotten your free copy, it's yours. Grab it, and you can get the context of the other chapters. In next week's worship, we're going to talk about really the foundation of what we talked about tonight. The work that we do is as part of a family, and bringing our families together into the presence of God is really important for us. Next week in our worship, we have the students of our school that will be joining us in singing at 8 o'clock and at 10:30 as well. So grab a copy tonight, take a look at it. It's only 71 pages, and you can read through it very, very quickly. There's some other announcements that I wanted to bring to your attention. JAM is coming up. Sunday school starts this weekend and a bunch of other activities on campus. The other book I wanted to bring to your attention is we got two copies of our brand new hymnal that arrived in the mail this past week. These all should be coming this coming fall, and you'll start seeing them out there. But if you have questions about it or you want to take a look at it, come find me after church tonight and I'll show you some of the cool stuff in our church body's new hymnal. Those are the announcements for me. Did I get it all right?
And just starting point begins this Tuesday at 6 o'clock. It'll be in the church narthex. So we have a lot of people, so hope to see many of you there for this coming
and
Tuesday.
And volunteer opportunities for those who might want to keep an eye on kids of bigger families that want to join the class, and they could use some child care kind of thing. So if you're interested in helping out that specific way, talk to this guy after the service, right?
Yep, and I signed you up already. So
oh, thank
you're
you.
Good, so.
I'll bring my kids. Y'all take care of them. God's richest blessings to all of you throughout this week.